Well, I feel compelled to tell you I'm 6'9". It comes up a bit. Our family is so grateful for this church family. It has been so life-giving to worship with you and serve with you and learn together. Thank you from the bottom of our hearts. Last week, we had such an amazing mountaintop experience on Resurrection Sunday, hearing the Word of God, that the resurrection matters in every area of life, that it awakens our sense of wonder. It stirs our imagination for the sacredness of the ordinary, and it gives us an eternal hope for every area of life. I want us to think about that today, specifically in the area of communication in our families and in our most important relationships. We're starting a new series today on the building blocks of a healthy family. And my heart is really to speak specifically to any of us who feel an area of our life has stagnated, who feel like we're in a rut, who feel like sometimes you sit across the table as a family and you almost feel like strangers. Or you bring up that thing and it just causes another argument again. And it just doesn't seem like there's any way out of this. It just doesn't seem like there's any way to fix it. You've tried and tried and tried again. And I want to say the resurrection has a word for us this morning. And so we're going to look in Matthew chapter 12, and I want to share three images that emerge from this text. Jesus is speaking to some Pharisees, starting in verse 33 this morning. And he says words that have import for us as well. He says, "Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree bad and its fruit bad, for the tree is known by its fruit. You brood of vipers," he says to the Pharisees, "how can you speak good when you are evil? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. The good person out of his good treasure brings forth good, and the evil person out of his evil treasure brings forth evil. I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give account for every careless word they speak. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned." So there we were, our 1 year anniversary, in a diner in Snohomish, Washington, not talking, looking around at the drab decor. How did we get there? Well, for one, we had flown out there as an anniversary trip. My wife had surprised me with a hot air balloon ride. My cousin dropped us off on the way to work. It was going to be a splendid day. It turns out there's lots of fog in the Seattle area. The balloon ride was scrapped. We had nothing to do. So we meander around and we happen upon some old abandoned railroad tracks with some old rail cars. And wouldn't you know, there's a cat and some kittens nestled in this rail car. My wife and I had different reactions. She was enthralled with the cuteness of the scene. I thought, wouldn't it be fun to rouse these cats with a gravel stone? Mind you, no animals were hurt in this event. When I did so, she took great offense. An argument ensued. And let me just say, when you have a lot of time to kill, you don't want an argument to come up. It just doesn't work. Somewhere in that argument, I used a choice word to describe how I felt she was acting. Next thing I know, my bride of a year of marriage is marching off down some highway in Snohomish. All she wanted to do was get away from me. Somehow I steer her into a diner, and there we sat, looking at each other. And I think what scared me most in that moment was this sense that maybe she was actually seeing me more truly in that time. That those words couldn't be taken back. And in that moment of frustration, maybe something was exposed in me. See, I'd put on a pretty convincing show for a time, but in truth, there was still a lot of selfishness in my heart, and still is. So Jesus says, make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For the tree is known by its fruit. In another place, he says, you will recognize them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? So every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear good fruit, or a healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus you will recognize them by their fruits. I wonder this morning, what would our closest relationships, the people closest to us, what would they say about the fruit in our lives? What do the things we say about us? Are we cordial and polite to everyone at the office, but come home and exhibit a sharp or condescending tongue? Are we controlling and manipulative whenever we need to get our way? Are we judgmental and quick to blame? Do our words discourage or stifle or reject or accuse, belittle or demean or inflict harm on others? What's the fruit of our lives? Or do we speak words of life and love to others, building them up with compassion and truth? Do we encourage, exhort, and speak words of gratitude? Do we take responsibility for mistakes and missteps? Do we seek to give others the chance to speak? Do our words bring peace, patience, love, joy, kindness, goodness, and gentleness? Do they build up others in their faith? And do they exhibit our own self-control? What is the fruit of our lives? Friends, our words reveal our character. The kind of tree we are. This is the first image, a tree and its fruit. Now at this point you might be thinking, okay, here we go. We're going to do the 10 ways to speak kinder words, or the principles of better communication. Because we are Americans, right? But that is not the testimony of Scripture. Here's what Jesus says. You brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak what is good? For the mouth speaks out of that which fills the heart. The good man brings out of the good treasure in his life what is good, and the evil man brings out of his evil treasure what is evil. You see, when our hearts are bent inward on ourselves, only some greater strength than our inward inertia can turn our hearts away from our self-centered gravity. The question for us today is not, how can I do better? The question is not, how can I change my behavior? That's a bit like astronauts in a spacecraft with no more fuel, in orbit around the Earth that's slowly decaying and heading toward the atmosphere to burn up. That's like them flipping switches and turning dials. Nothing is going to save that spacecraft. They need a rescue. They need help from outside. They need someone to intervene. So ultimately, we cannot fix the inward, self-centered bent of our hearts. Something else is required. Now you might be thinking, amen, brother, I've been telling them. Or, yeah, she's always been like that. That ain't going to change. Or maybe you're thinking, yeah, I've tried to change. I really have, and I just can't. I've tried time and again. And there is some truth in that, isn't there? We cannot, in fact, change the condition of our hearts, but still we know something needs to change. Here's the testimony of Scripture, Psalm 14, 2 and 3. The Lord looks down from heaven on the children of man to see if there are any who understand, who seek after God. They have all turned aside. Together they have become corrupt. There is none who does good, not even one. So good old American can-do isn't going to do it. We're in need of something else. Consider the verse we mentioned a moment ago, the second image. The good man brings out of his good treasure what is good, and the evil man brings out of his evil treasure what is evil. Who can remove the evil treasure, the junk and garbage and baggage from our hearts and replace it with good treasure? This is precisely the work of Jesus Christ. This is the resurrection life. That Jesus comes and He reorients our selfish hearts that are bent inward on ourselves to glorify and exalt and worship and love Him most of all. He sets our hearts on Him instead of on ourselves. Recall the Scriptures. We do not, or Jesus says, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The Christian life is a life of setting our deepest hopes and love on Jesus, making Him our treasure. And just imagine, what would it be like for the treasure of your heart that wells up in your words and in your actions and in your deeds toward all other people? What would it be like if that treasure were Jesus Himself? Do you want to know that love? Do you want your relationships and life to be characterized by the fruit of that kind of love, the love of Jesus? A treasure trove of love that He fills our hearts with to overflow into the lives of others. Maybe you're here today and you would say, in a moment of honesty, the treasure in my heart is not Jesus Christ, it's something else. And I keep trying and my relationships keep suffering. Because in an outburst of anger or an outburst of selfishness, what flows out is a treasure that I know is not good. And I keep trying to change, but I can't. Friends, the resurrection life in Jesus is for you today. Here's what Paul says in Romans. The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we are preaching. That if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation, that whoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Scripture tells us this is something we call repentance. It's a turning away from the lesser loves, from the love of ourself most of all, and turning toward the love of Jesus Christ. So repent, believe, confess. If you want to be a resurrection person, alive with an imaginative kind of love, overflowing in good fruit, turn away from those other loves. Turn toward the love of Jesus. You see, His love is greater than any other. You see, He loved you before you were even conceived. He's loved you ever since. He's loved you with a love that surpasses any other love, the love that would go to a cross to die for you. And His love goes and stretches even into eternity. No love can match His for height, or breadth, or width, or depth. And when you set the treasure of your heart on Him, when you set your greatest love on Him, He fills your heart to overflow into the lives of others. There's no 10-part way to communicate better. There's a call to repent and believe and trust the Lord to fill your heart to overflowing, full of life. And friends, even if you have set your heart on Jesus, I want to encourage you, this message is as much for us today as it is for those who haven't yet. The gospel is for us every day, always. That message is for us through all of life, in every area. I once had a vision that was very profound in my life. You see, I'd been dealing with anger in my relationship with my children. Maybe some of you can relate. When they would disobey or when they would do something wrong, I just found myself getting angry. And I was finding it so difficult to control. I was finding it so difficult to change. And so finally, I started to cry out in desperation. Jesus, heal me of this anger. Change my heart. I was in a church service in Managua, Nicaragua, and during a worship song, I closed my eyes and I saw a vision. I was on one side of a table. Jesus was on the other, and I had a bag of all my stuff, all the junk and baggage, and I started to pour it out on the table, and as soon as I'd done so, Jesus swept it off the table with His hand, and He grabbed me and put me on the table, and He touched my heart. And I wonder if maybe for you there's something similar. You've tried the over-the-counter drugs. You've tried the therapy. You've tried all kinds of ways to be healed, but what you really need is the surgeon. And that's scary. What you really need is the surgeon to intervene and to heal you. The third image. You think of a pond with an algal bloom on it. The fertilizer is run off, nitrogen rich, the algae starts to spread. Before long, it covers the surface. No light can penetrate. No oxygen is being produced in the water anymore. It becomes stagnant and stale. It stifles life. Nothing can live there anymore. It's dead. What used to have life is now stifled and dead. Is that an area of your life? Is that a relationship in your life? Friends, the resurrection means that the Holy Spirit of God can work in those places, can bring restoration, can bring healing, to turn that stale, stagnant water again into a flowing river of life, to break up that algae and allow the light to penetrate and oxygen to be produced and life once again to flourish and larger marine animals and fish and all kinds of life to start teeming out of that river until people come from all over longing just to be close to that life, abundant place. Which one describes the atmosphere of your home? Which one describes your relationships? If there's a place that feels like that pond, dead and stagnant, pray to the Lord. Ask Him to bring healing. Believe in His name. Make Him your treasure. Let it overflow. The Holy Spirit can work in imaginative and surprising ways. He will turn those areas into rivers. As we close, I want to think of three questions for us this morning. First is, what is your heart set on? What's your treasure? If you are honest, is your treasure the living God? Is your heart set on Him? Do you see how His life and love are overflowing into your relationships? If not, do you want that? If you do, there's a beautiful prayer ministry here, ready to pray with you. Second question is a challenging one, and I don't say it lightly. It's impressed on my soul already. But I wonder, would you be willing to ask your closest relationships, the people closest to you, what the fruit of your life is? Would you be willing to let the Lord work in that way? To be honest. To take a stale area that everyone can see and begin to walk out a repentance in that area and a desire for change and for newness and restoration that God could work in you. Like I said, I don't take that lightly. I know that would take a lot of courage for me as well as you. And then lastly, is there any area of your heart, any place that you need Jesus to redeem or restore or refresh or heal? Won't you pray and let Him do that for you? Won't you stop trying all the techniques and ways that just don't work? Because they're still about us. They're still about preserving what we want. Won't you set your heart on Jesus and allow Him to fill your relationships with good treasure? Friends, I pray for you and your family and your relationships that the resurrection life would flow, bringing all the fruit of the Spirit, that you would know the fullness of Jesus' love for you, both for you and those closest to you. Let's pray this morning. Jesus, we thank you for the resurrection. A vivid reminder, Lord, that death is not the end of the story. That even the places that feel dead in our lives can experience new life. Jesus, I thank you that you are the cornerstone. As we look at building blocks for a healthy family, Jesus, may we acknowledge and lay the cornerstone in our lives. May we build our house on the rock by doing what you have said, that we might experience life such as only the resurrection and your love can bring. We praise you today for all things. In Jesus' name, amen.